BBC is like a brothel that is run by prostitutes. This is what one of the complainants told the Independent Commission of Inquiry into Sexual Harassment at the SABC, which has found that management and unions trivialized the complaints, with the HR department ignoring the implementation of the corporation's sexual harassment policy. The commission was comprised of experts in gender, law, social work and counselling. They received 40 submissions, interviewed 11 perpetrators for 10 cases lodged by complainants. At least 25 SABC managers were interviewed and 7 cases lodged by whistleblowers. The report says the SABC managers covered up for the perpetrators, leading to the victimization of complainants who were forced to work alongside their perpetrators. The complainants ended up by leaving the SABC due to undue pressure and inefficiencies by management. We were hoping to speak with the SABC on this matter. However, we were told by the chairperson of the commission, Barbara Watson, that they would be in an urgent meeting with the SABC leadership this evening on the very matter we are discussing. So joining me on the line now for reaction to what the commission has revealed is Executive Director at Media Monitoring Africa, Mr. William Bird. Mr. Bird, good evening. Welcome from Kenya, I believe.
Hi, yes, good evening. I'm having a lovely chat with you from Nairobi.
Yes. Now, we understand, of course, that the commission investigation revealed that 10 cases were lodged directly by victims, 25 SABC officials were interviewed, 7 cases were lodged by whistleblowers, 11 alleged perpetrators were interviewed, 2 trade unions were engaged, and 20 external witnesses were called, and 40 comprehensive submissions were provided. That's quite a lot of information. Does it give us an understanding of the level of the malfeasance and the level of rot, particularly in the instance of sexual harassment at the South African Broadcasting Corporation?
So I think it's important to consider that generally, when we've done research on sexual discrimination in news media in Southern Africa, we found that it's prevalent across newsrooms in South Africa, Zimbabwe, Zambia and Namibia, that the levels obviously differ. But the kind of scale and scope of this is something that very much diverges quite strongly from the South African experience of the interview that we did some years ago.
Yeah.
And what it speaks to is the period where the SABC was kept in a deliberate state of chaos.
Yes.
Where we now know that not only did that serve various political and corrupt ends, it also clearly served to engender the most awful and repugnant forms of sexual discrimination that we know about. It really is quite extraordinary, and it does lend a very different kind of discourse to the one that's been put forward by the Motsoneng apologized.
Absolutely. Now, the commission found that none of the alleged offenders were suspended or charged with sexual harassment. The alleged perpetrators often continued working and were then later found guilty of a lesser charge, such as unprofessional behavior. There was also a strong perception that the HR and senior managers often colluded with alleged perpetrators in cover-ups. Employees really blew the whistle because they feared losing their jobs, and there was a lack of trust and a loss of confidence in HR. And then, of course, HR and most senior managers lacked knowledge and understanding of the human rights statutes, gender relations and power relations between men and women. Now, that, of course, tells us a lot about the SABC management. It tells us that the HR division basically obeyed the people they feared the most, and that was, of course, Claudie and his gang. But the other thing it tells us is that all of these people are actually still at the SABC. William, that should be cause for grave, grave concern.
Yeah, it certainly is. You know, it means that, like so many women in our country, they are forced to face their perpetrators on a daily basis. They know that there's kind of no end to them, and that's why many of them either left, or in fact what we also know is that a great deal of these women in fact didn't go forward. We know that one of the core problems with the SABC over the last decade was in fact around the human resources department. So in addition now to the allegations of editorial interference and other issues around appointments that shouldn't have been made or that were improperly made, we can now add to that charge sexual discrimination. I mean, it really is quite sickening and repugnant. And I suspect that if we look into other instances of state capture, we'll find that this is, you know, one of those issues that is critical to South Africa. We know levels of gender-based violence are so high, and yet it's something that kind of is seen to be going along with that kind of general corrupt behavior where you've got people who think and behave as a law unto themselves.
Absolutely, and it's obviously a really toxic element of the abuse of power. In one alleged sexual harassment case at the broadcaster, it led to a husband and wife resigning from the broadcaster before they got divorced. And it is said this is the tragic cost of sexual harassment. A family that was stable, a husband and wife that were working together, suddenly they are living in abject poverty just because of sexual harassment. The chairperson of the Independent Commission of Inquiry into Sexual Harassment at the SABC, Barbara Watson, said on Tuesday. And then she goes on to say, sexual harassment might look like a minor crime, but its impact can be quite horrendous. And then the commission presented its findings to the SABC offices in Auckland Park today. And then this was also one of the cases that the commission investigated. The wife's line manager was on the interviewing panel that hired her, and he was on leave during her first week at the public broadcaster. He greeted her in the office when he returned. In the process, he gave her a hug, but she said the hug was very long and very suspicious. He then said to her, her perfume smells sexy and wish they had shared an office. Now, that level of intrusion, that level of invasion of people's private space, when you are in a position of power over somebody, is of course the recipe for why people can get away with it. What do you think, William, was the reason why the HR department failed these people so dismally at the SABC?
I think, frankly, because they didn't think that these were serious issues or allegations that they needed to consider. These were people who were probably perpetrating them. We suspect some of the other more senior figures were also involved in these or similar allegations, and that they didn't think that they needed to act against them. And when you're operating in an environment where your senior heads are behaving in a manner that is that represents the worst of corporate governance, we know that the Public Protector came out with her report talking about a complete failure of corporate governance. When you're in that scenario, you know, it's not surprising to think then that they would have any regard for something that is considered a lesser offence, and yet we're now seeing the real price that has been paid. I think we must give credit to the current SABC for not only revealing this report, but for making sure that this inquiry went forward. This is quite unprecedented for a newsroom to be doing these things, and for all that it's exposing things that are completely and utterly revolting, it's an important step in trying to rebuild the credibility of our public broadcaster.
Now, one of the issues, of course, is also the fact that a lot of the people who were appointed at the SABC were appointed illegally, irregularly, and also, of course, remunerated. I had an interview with the Communication Workers Union last night, and they refused to accept any responsibility for the fact that they actively colluded with the Claudi administration. And they refused to say how many of their members are actually on this list of people who were irregularly appointed and irregularly particularly remunerated. What we do know from the HR head, Mr. Tekiso, is that that bill stands at 40 million rand. Now, that is a lot of money. And of course, the SABC now wants to retrench people. How important is it, William, that there be absolute transparency about who was involved and how people colluded with each other around these issues? Because the first thing Mr. Motsoeneng did was, of course, build himself allies. And he did that through essentially just buying over some union members and harassing others.
I mean, I think that that's clear. I think that the Communication Workers Union have a lot to answer for. Their current approach and response to this, instead of one of attrition and seeking to try and rid themselves of this virus, they're now pretending, you know, that things are fine and that in fact that Mr. Motsoeneng did nothing wrong. You know, they need to be held accountable for their actions. It's clear that many of the people within their ranks were either brought under Mr. Motsoeneng's sway or were directly involved in some of these acts that were clearly went against all of the editorial policies of the public broadcaster. You know, it is essential that these things are made public. And it really, I think, places the union in the most profoundly compromising position.
Yes.
To be refuting the issue of retrenchments, and yet at the same time, having been actively, openly, deliberately complicit with one of the biggest scandals that the public broadcaster has ever had to endure.
Absolutely. Now, the other thing, of course, that is important is that the SABC 8 and others have said that the enforcers of the Motsoeneng regime remains in the SABC. And until that is addressed, the change in culture and editorial values will be very difficult to implement. Now, we already saw Mr. Moroleng being charged with hiring somebody and paying them an exorbitant amount of money. I'm speaking now about the sports representative, Mr. Robert Marawa. And then, of course, there is Ms. Nomsa Peliso that is said to be on the list. We can't confirm this as absolute fact, but we have managed to speak to sources who said that her name appears on the list of people that were, of course, promoted inappropriately. How does the current board and the current administration prevent that the people who were actually responsible, who hold positions of power now, do not get protected, and that any new people who come in who violate the policies of the organization aren't protected because it's just too much to have the new administration embroiled in similar practices that actually happened under the Motsoeneng regime?
Well, I think we still have to wait for the Editorial Interference Commission of Inquiry for them and those findings to be made public. And then we're going to await the final version of the latest editorial policies, and we're hoping that part of that is that those are part and parcel of people's contract of employment at the SABC, and that that should start to make some kind of deliberate inroads into making sure that current and future employees don't behave in that manner, and that where they're found to behave incorrectly, that there is a clear, open and transparent process that deals with them accordingly. And certainly with regard to the announcement of the findings and recommendations today, it says that not only was the SABC found wanting it, but they weren't even at home at the time.
Yes.
You know, they were completely and utterly clueless about these things, and they had no process for taking them seriously. The fact that they are responding, that they've made that announcement, you know, let's see what they come up with in terms of what steps they're going to take, and we have to then make sure that we hold them to those, that in future any person who experiences sexual harassment within the SABC must make sure that it's dealt with fairly and appropriately and taken very seriously.
Even if it involves the new management?
Regardless, no one should be above the law. If it's whoever it is, they must be held accountable. If they're found involved in that kind of activity, they must be held accountable and disciplined accordingly. And if that means that they're fired or go to jail, then so be it.
All right, that is Mr. William Bird, the Director of Media Monitoring Africa.